Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter number 5. We're going to continue just as long as he'll let us, and I appreciate what he's doing in me. I'll have to confess that it's been getting difficult for me as I dig deeper into the passage of Scripture that we're in, and as we continue, I appreciate just the faithfulness of God in it. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1 is where we'll begin tonight for context. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'd like to stop right there. Lord, we pray you'd open your word to our hearts as we open our heart to your word. Make us what we need to be, not what we want to be, but open us to this truth. We confess and have repented, but we pray you'd continue to draw from us those things that hinder us from being what it means to be blessed. We ask it earnestly as we pray this, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I hope you've made some notes. As I've had to repent over how many times I've read the Beatitudes and hadn't really read them and hadn't truly sought for the direction of God in these things, and they're certainly helping me. But blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are humble. And I can assure you that each one of you have an issue with humility. Because pride is real in your life. It's part of the flesh nature. You'll continue to struggle with humility and therefore ought to be on top of mind always. Reminding ourselves the importance of humility. And I'll assure you the best thing to do is not look at your neighbor, because they're not likely the right example, but look at Christ. That's where the example of humility resides. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We touched on that Sunday night. Certainly being broken is necessary. If you've ever had a chance to read the repentance of David, King David, as he recovered from the sin he had committed against God with Bathsheba, the scripture said in that particular chapter of Psalms 51 said that it was of a broken heart and a contrite spirit that God would in no wise cast out. And you'll find in these first two Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit and blessed are they that mourn, you'll find the brokenness and the humility necessary to find an audience with God. But aren't you glad that God always hears the broken?
Amen.
I sure am. I'm so grateful because it seems so often the closer I get to him, the more broken I become. But here in verse number 5, it says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, here we find another one of those paradoxes as you think about those that rule the world as we know it, the presidents, the dictators, the leaders of countries, the rulers of state and such. Then you certainly don't think of the meek as being those that are in charge. But what it said is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As I tried my best to get my mind around the definition of what it means to be meek, because as I look in the mirror, I don't find that example, and certainly what I've had to repent most of. I found a very helpful definition or explanation in the commentary of Matthew Henry. The only commentary I use, I'd certainly recommend it if you need one. But Matthew Henry was some 400 years ago when he wrote this commentary, so it certainly is not swayed by present cultural changes or desires or agendas and things of that nature. So I like to look at it often just to see what he thought. Because in the late 1600s, there was a lot of things going on. For one, the Reformation had just occurred, and certainly people were coming into the light of Christ. But I want to read to you tonight what Matthew Henry described as being the meek. This particular verse, specifically, he said, "The meek are those who quietly submit themselves to God, to His word, and to His rod, who follow His directions and comply with His designs and are gentle towards all men." Anybody able to check the box yet? He goes on. "The meek are those who can bear provocation without being inflamed by it." He lost me. "The meek are either silent in this time, or they return a soft answer. And who can show their the meek can show their displeasure when there is occasion for it, but without being transported into any indecencies." We're often right about things, but we handle them the wrong way. "The meek can be cool when others are hot, and in their patience keep possession of their own souls when they can scarcely keep possession of anything else. Lastly, they are the meek who are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified, and who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having the rule of their own spirit." I don't know about you, but I find it near impossible to be meek. I realize that there are some by nature or temperament that simply are meeker than others. But because of pride itself, we don't do well when we receive injustice. God help us. Right? We don't do well when we receive injustice. As I thought about the importance of this, and certainly as Jesus himself gives this as a directive, "Blessed are the meek." So we find in that his directive to be meek in order that we might receive the promise of this blessing. I'm concerned that I don't meet the mark. Certainly not concerning the definition or explanation that Matthew Henry gave. And me personally, and I'm trying not to be too transparent, but personally I'm a lot better than I used to be. But you see, that's not the standard. And though to get to my hot button is a whole lot harder than it used to be, I found it's still there. And so I've just repented. Some think that meek equals weak. It's the other way around. It is those who cannot control their spirit who are the weak. No, I found as I have looked in the scripture over and over at the example of meekness, and I have found it to be the greatest of strengths to be able to keep one's spirit in check regardless of the hostility he is faced with. I looked at several examples of the disciples, but they were all faulty as well. Better than me. Let me give credit where credit's due. They were better than me for certain. But I found that the only true example to use tonight was that of Christ. And I assure you that he was meek. He wrote to them in his own words in Matthew 11. He said to them, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And I will give rest unto your souls." You see, the strongest that has ever walked the face of the earth was the meekest of us. The one that had the most control of himself to ever speak to the ears of mankind was the one who came from glory, the Son of God himself. He is the epitome of meekness. As Isaiah described him, he said he would go to the slaughter as a lamb and yet not open his mouth. That's our biggest problem, ain't it?
Right. Amen.
We open our mouth when it ought to stay shut. We can't keep our spirit under control. We don't have the discipline of mind and heart. We haven't prayed through the subject. We think ourselves weak if we don't respond with a harsh word or respond with an attitude as ill as what's given to us or respond with a fist or something of that nature. You will never find meekness in retaliation. And yet I'm afraid each one of us, even the ladies among us, right? Our tongues can be sharp and dangerous and hurtful and revengeful, and there's all kinds of things that can come from our heart. Listen, these things are coming from in us, right? What comes from the mouth is what is existing in the heart. And because it is in the heart, amen, it gives privilege to come from the mouth. And we need to rule that in, recognizing that to become meek, we have to die out to self and yield ourselves to something that is greater than our own selves. And the best one to look at is Jesus. Let's look at just a few examples that you could follow the life of Jesus. Everything he did exemplified what what meekness is all about. Oh, how I love Jesus. Amen. I am so grateful that he was and I'm not. I'm so glad that he's the example. I haven't met the mark yet, but I'm glad I've got one that I can read about. I can study. I can follow and know that he's the example that is to be followed. Now, all we need to line up with this one. Blessed are the meek. I was reminded of several, but I just jotted down a few as an example for you tonight. Go and study them yourself, because it's likely that you'll find hidden treasures in every part that you search as you begin to look and identify the great and wondrous characteristics of our Lord. And yet I'm reminded that there was a... He was just a few hours away from being crucified. And there in the upper room, the scripture said, supper having been ended, he rose and he took off his garment and he grabbed a towel and he girded himself. And he took some water and he poured it in a basin and he set that basin down in front of them. And the Bible said that he began to wash his disciples' feet. When he got to old Peter, Peter said, "Lord, you'll not wash my feet." You remember what he said. And ultimately, Peter got his feet washed, didn't he? But what he said to Peter is, he said, "I don't need to wash your head and your hands." He said, "Your feet's enough." He said, "But," he said, "for you're clean, every whit." He said, "But not all of you." And he moved on down. And you know whose feet he washed?
That's right.
He knelt down before the very one within moments would leave that place and would run right into the high priest and the rulers of Jerusalem, bound for 30 pieces of silver. He would deny the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of perdition himself, whom Christ had always known. stone would betray him, he knelt down before him and he washed his feet. Could you? Oh, that sheds the light on it, doesn't it? I don't know that I'm that meek. You see, Jesus knew what the others couldn't figure out was that Judas was the one that would betray him. And we find again, even there, after they had gone out after the supper, and Jesus had prayed in agony 3 times over and over, crying out unto God as he agonized for the cup that was fixing to be presented for him to drink from. And yet, when they showed up, oh, Judas was leading the way. And the scripture said that he had told them, he said, whoever it is that I kiss, that's the one. And as he came up to Jesus, Jesus asked him the question. He said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? One of the other Gospels, I'm talking about the power of my Lord, one of the other Gospels said that when they asked who Jesus was, he said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, they all fell down.
Right.
He could have just as easily said, all gone. And every one of them would have been killed or annihilated or disappeared or gone forever. Jesus was meek. In the very face of those that were bringing hostility toward the sinless Lamb of God, in the very hour before he was to be crucified here, the Lamb of God is still meek. He is still meek. There, as they said, Master, shall we slay with a sword? And Peter draws his sword and cuts off the ear of one of the high priests. And the Bible said Jesus takes the ear and puts it back on the man. Let me tell you something. It's the very man that would take him away. The very one likely to bind him up. The very one that would deliver him into the Sanhedrin. Listen, Jesus was meek. We're often not. When the hard things come, we often respond to them with a sharp word or a raised voice. We're anything but gentle in trying to handle some things that, according to the scripture, we ought to leave to God. I'm still praying through this, right? I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm just saying this is the standard. Let me give you just one more. Peter had told him, he said, I'll not deny you. And he said, before this night's over, Peter, he said, you'll have denied me 3 times. And he did. And he did. Well, sometimes the hardest hurt you'll ever get is from those that are closest to you.
Right?
Sometimes when you need somebody's support, the most is when they run out on you. But Jesus didn't hold it against him.
No.
Jesus didn't look at him and with a sharp word rebuke him. No. The Bible said when the cock crowed that 3rd time, old Peter recognized it. He remembered the words of the Lord and it broke his heart. And as he looked into that room, there was one looking back at him. It was the meekness and the lowliness of my Lord who in that very moment, Peter, the disciple of God, rejected, denied that he had even known him. And yet the eye of the loving Savior was still meek unto him. Oh, how we might miss the mark on this one. Don't we justify ourselves in our means, right? We do that because our right has been violated. And certainly you good people, you don't never react harshly in unnecessary circumstances. But what I'm saying is what we deem circumstance that's necessary for a response that is ill and prideful. Friend, the Bible does not allow. And yet we take liberties with it because we're right and we act wrong. Not acceptable, right? There's not a place in the Word of God you'll find where Jesus, the meek and the lowly, when he had to stand for the right and he went into the temple and he cast them all out, the Bible said he wrapped a cord together and made a whip out of it and he run them out of there. But it was the same Jesus that was then next preaching in the streets, trying to share the good news of the gospel to whosoever would believe. How many times did the Pharisees come at him? How many times did they try to trick him? How many times did they try to catch him? And there were times he simply disappeared from them. Meek and lowly. As I tried to think of something that might be more easy for us to remember, as humble and broken are, I think meek speaks to gentle. And gentle don't mean soft. Gentle doesn't mean easy. To me, it means kind. And oh, how we respond sometimes in unkindness for the least littlest infraction. How many of you are guilty of what they call road rage? Repent. Not acceptable at all. No reason, you see. See, those kind of provocations sometimes are not even the fault of anybody, right? And yet we're on edge about every little thing. We allow our spirit to be working. This is the work of the enemy. He works us up and he tries to violate our very hearts, amen, by drawing us into a confrontation, amen, that was unnecessary in every way. And I can tell you why it is. Because we are not meek. We have not disciplined our heart and our mind to the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. Here's what I can assure you. If he treated you like you treat others, you might not be so quick to respond. We might learn and discipline our minds and our hearts and recognize that what Jesus was saying is, I want you, I ask you to be humble. I want you to be broken. And I want you to be meek. Because meekness is an attribute that will constantly win the heart of the unbeliever. It's not the hard word. It's the soft answer. It's that time when a person's expecting you to come back at them. They're expecting you to lash out. They're expecting your hard words. And what you come back with is something completely different that is unlike you and more like Christ. Meek. You see, to be meek, I have found, will take an extraordinary amount of strength. An internal fortitude that I'm not certain. I am certain. I'm not there yet. And the Lord can put me in circumstances that he shows me that just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Something hits your button. Before you know it, you've said something you shouldn't have said. This, you see, is where it's at, that we recognize that the meekness of the Lord Jesus was not because he was weak or that he was unwilling to be confrontational. No, what he recognized was the strength is the ability to not have to confrontation anything and everything around us. He was gentle of spirit, yet always in control. What I found is that when I lose my temper, when somebody pushes that button, and in my flesh I want to respond a particular way, the ability to respond with a soft answer and a gentle word requires way more discipline and strength than just flying off the handle. It won't help anybody. How many of you have said things you can't get back? Right? And you even in your own mind are thinking to yourself, why did I say that? Why did I do that? And the flesh triggers that, and it brings out the emotion that is ill and contrary to the nature of God. And yet all the while he is asking us to be like him. Meek. I'm afraid this is a challenge. I mean, I don't know about you, but I breezed over these Beatitudes for too many years. I found them to be quite challenging. As a matter of fact, they don't come natural, not to me. Not these first, anyway. Right? I did all right through the humility and broken part, right? I'm not all the way there, but I'm closer. Well, when he started unpacking this one, I recognized I needed to stay in school a little longer. I didn't understand. Wasn't paying attention. Meekness. Been many a time that a soft answer would have resolved the issue. But instead, I responded with a bad attitude. Did my ignorance play a card that wasn't legal? Listen, just because you're the head of the household don't mean you can be the backside of a... God requires us to be meek. And meek doesn't mean out of control. It means in control. Able to turn away wrath with a soft answer. Able within our heart to control our minds and to keep it in check. And to manage the situation according to that which is holy and spiritual. All right. We get that part, right? I'm going to move on now because I think we understand that. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm still convicted. And I've been praying about it for days. But I want to get better. I do. I earnestly want to get better. And thank God I ain't what I used to be. But oh, as I read this and I see the control of my Lord. When they threw him down in front of that hypocrite, and when they took their fists and they punched him because of what he said to the high priest. He could have done anything he wanted at that moment. But he never opened his mouth. I'm not like that. God forgive me. I'm not like that. As they strapped him to that post and they began to beat him with that instrument of torture. And ripping the flesh from his back and every nerve ending on his body as it was reeling in excruciating pain and blood flying everywhere. All he had to do was say stop. Yes. And they'd have fell dead without a breath. But he stood there saying, you talking about strength. I don't know that kind of strength. Plucked his beard and put a crown of thorns down over, mocked him. The one that controlled the very breath that entered their lungs and the beat of their heart mocked him. See, I don't know what that, I can't grasp that in my mind. I'm certainly not that meek. To hang there. And who the scripture said he could have called legions of angels. I pictured him in my mind. They were on the rim of heaven just waiting for the King of glory to whisper, get me. And it had been done. It had been done. But he did not. He did not. So you mark my word. When he said, blessed are the meek, he meant that. Right? That wasn't one you can excuse yourself from or say, no, I've got a different problem. I can't. No, no. When he said, blessed are the meek, it meant you. And so I've got to keep working on that one. Blessed are the meek, he said, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, let's look at the two blessings as we close this. We understand what meekness is. It's not weakness. Meekness is strength with a gentle spirit. There's a blessing that comes to those that are meek. Now, I'd rack my brain to try to think of some folks that I knew in my lifetime and had interacted with that were truly meek individuals. And I thought of a couple, and I'm not going to share them tonight, but I was able to think of a few precious people, and they were certainly godly people. And they had a way of talking to people, regardless of how upset they were. They had a way of diffusing all kinds of things, and they did it with a gentle spirit and a gentle word and oft times wisdom. And as I thought about this, I thought, what a great way to be. What a great way to be is to be able to have a meek spirit. You realize, you see, that the meek, the greatest blessing for the meek is that they live in comfort here all the time. All the time. You see, because the reason you respond is because you allow hurt. You allow offense. You refuse to forgive instantly, right? And to turn loose of things and to let them go. No, the person that is truly meek is able to live and to be a part of all kinds of things and yet always be in a comfort in their heart and their mind. I don't know about you, but that would be a blessing beyond blessings. To never be afflicted in the mind. Does your mind ever run away with you? Right? The least little thing happened and your mind just goes up. 1,000 directions. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were so meek that it didn't bother us? Right? The silliness that the devil does and the things that he does and tries to hit your button. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were able to just be able to look past that and in a great comfort and a spirit of gentleness in your own heart be able to say, God help him. And mean it. God bless him. That is what he said, wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. They hit you on one, he said, offer them the other. They need you to walk a mile, he said, walk two with them. They take your coat to give them your cloak too. I'm afraid we've not hit that level, have we? I'm trying not to speak for anybody else, but I find it hard to believe that we've really checked this box. That we're truly the meek. But there's something in me that wants to be now. Oh, how I've seen this truth, and it helps me. It helps me. Let me read the importance of this really quick. If you are meek, you're like Jesus. This is simply fully satisfied in the moment. Think about how wonderful that would be. Fully satisfied in the moment, regardless of the moment. If you're meek, anger and revenge doesn't control you. You control it. And therefore, you experience the most comfortable, undisturbed enjoyment of yourself, your friends, your God. A person that truly is meek, able to live in that gentle, controlled spirit. Listen, they are fit for any relation, any condition, any company. They're fit to live and they're fit to die. It's understood from the present blessing of meekness that those in its pursuit experience now. They experience now the most easy and undisturbed lives compared to those who are confrontational and unyielding and proud. How many of us have agonized in repentance because we should have acted differently in a situation? I have. I've had to even go back to people and apologize to them.
Amen.
I've had to ask them to forgive me. That's not comfortable. The blessing now of being meek is the wondrous comfort that would abide in our heart and our mind
all the time. Because we hold no ill. We don't bear that grudge. We don't hold on or wallow in hurt or offense. We simply recognize that we don't fight flesh and blood. We have an enemy. And whether it's your wife saying these things or your husband or your children or your boss or whoever, what we recognize is it's not them we fight. Come on. They struggle with the same insecurities and struggles and problems and things that we do. We've got an enemy that is wicked spiritually, and he influences everyone he can. There is a blessing now from being meek. When I read of Jesus, and I read several passages this week, and I never found one day, Bruce, he was uptight. For a man, certainly, that was humble and mourned, I didn't find where he's uptight. I didn't find where he was just out of sorts with anybody, having a bad day, bad attitude, poor. No. He was always meek. Well, here's what the psalmist wrote, and this is what Jesus literally quotes in the fifth verse of Matthew. Psalms 37, verse number 11. The psalmist David said, "But the meek shall inherit the earth." So that leads us to the last point as we close. I said that each one of the Beatitudes, they carry two blessings, two promises of blessing. And mark you now that when I say blessing, this is the Lord, this is Christ promising that these people will be blessed now and eternally, right? So there are two blessings tied to every one of these circumstances. The first one I've already touched on, right? The ability to be meek of spirit will free your heart and mind from unnecessary grief, pain, suffering, repentance, all of those things if we're gentle of spirit and meek. So that's a wondrous blessing right now. But let's look at this next one. And I find this one a bit challenging. What he said was is that the meek shall inherit the earth. Right? Now think about this just a moment. Right? We probably have read over that and we've never considered what does it say and what does it mean. The meek shall inherit the earth. When we die, where do we go? I'm not talking about our body. I'm talking about the spirit. Where do we go? All right, we're going to where the Lord is. Is where the Lord is right now, is that the earth? No. But what did he say? He said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Now, what I know about the earth is that I will not inherit, as far as the world goes, the worldly things. Right? He's been quite clear about the worldly stuff. We're not supposed to be of the world. Right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So what we know is that what we see around us right now, that in particular itself, at least at this moment, that is not my eternal home. That is simply my temporary dwelling. So what does he mean then? If the meek shall inherit the earth, what does he mean? He doesn't intend for me to have the earth right now, right? Or he'd give it to me. The meek shall inherit the earth. Well, I think to understand this one, and I'm going to try to give you these verses, and we'll go through it quickly. But it's important that we get this part. I think the direction is clear, but to understand it, we have to look into the future. So hang on with me. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. I'm going to begin at verse number 1, and I'm going to read 6 verses. Now, the meek shall inherit the earth. Are you there? Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Listen to verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Number 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Where is that reign going to take place? On earth. On earth. The prophecy said that Jesus would sit on the throne of his father David for 1,000 years. According to the scripture, he will rule the earth. No devil. Where's the devil? Bound in the bottomless pit. Can't get out till he turns him loose. Let me read to you what the New Testament says. And you see if this stuff lines up. I think it fits. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Paul again said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. All right? What did he say? He said, we would reign with him. Now, when do we know that Christ reigns on the earth? During 1,000 years, according to the scripture. So when he said that the meek shall inherit the earth, is that what he meant? Well, I can't find anything else it could mean. And so I'm going on what the scripture says. Another scripture for you, Revelation chapter number 5, and this is the last one, verses 9 and 10. Here's what it says. Revelation chapter number 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Who's he talking about? Who has been redeemed by the blood of Christ? Us, right? That's who you're reading about in chapter number 5 of Revelation. You're reading about those that were raptured prior to the tribulation. That's what you're reading about. And therefore he says, hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and had made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Does that make sense? I'd be glad if somebody got a better idea on it. But he said the meek shall inherit the earth. When I looked at Matthew Henry's commentary on that, he tried to lead us to the concept that what he meant was is the earth was referred to as they used to talk about the promised land, and that it was simply a reference to heaven. But as I kept reading that, it just became too clear. What he said was earth. That Greek word means the third rock from the sun. It means the earth. And when he speaks of the earth in Revelations, he says the earth. He's not metaphorically speaking of heaven or the promised land. He's speaking of the earth. And so he said, the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, does that make sense? Yes, in light of Revelations, it does make sense. It does. It means that for you and I, the promise that Christ has made is that when he reigns on this earth, we will be priests and kings, judges and rulers. We will reign, heirs, according to the Apostle Paul, and joint heirs with Christ. We would reign, according to Revelation chapter 5, with him on the earth. No need to make it hard. It says what it says. We might as well just believe what it says. So the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, I don't struggle as much with that part of it as trying to be meek. So as opposed to trying to worry too much about when we'll reign with him on the earth, I think I'll just pay attention to trying to figure out how to be meek each day. And I believe we can. Right? He wouldn't have asked us if he hadn't given us the ability through the Holy Spirit to do it. I believe the Holy Spirit's meek because Christ is meek. And I believe in us is the ability to be meek. But it will require a great deal of discipline and self-denial. You'll have to put yourself down to ever be meek. Well, I think we can pray about this one. Might take us a while. Right? This might not be one where you just flip the switch. It may be a process. But I believe he can help us. I believe he can help me. I'll let you answer for yourself. All right. Well, I'm not going to give an invitation tonight. Just say you need to chew on that a while and try to get it digested. If I could be more like Christ, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, that are humble, that have humbled themselves. Blessed are those that truly are broken, who have allowed themselves to be broken in the presence of God. They'll have the audience with God, and blessed are those that are gentle of spirit, under control of their emotions and their will, and respond in a way that brings the love of Christ and not the wrath of man in his wake. Lord, help us to be meek.